The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Yeah, I want to thank y'all for being here. This is wonderful, wonderful, because we were just talking 15 minutes ago that every church talks about praying, teaches about praying, preaches about praying, but most of us don't pray. And so what we're doing during this session is we're gonna do a little stuff. Some of you, I got a little handout. If you didn't get a handout, that's where I'm gonna wrap it all up at the end. Michael's gonna give you a chance to talk. I'm Bud Parrish. I am back in Greensboro, North Carolina. I've been to Durham, Michigan, back to Greensboro. I did traveling, and there's several spots. I did. Traveled for 3 years. I was in 38 states and 4 countries in 3 years. And my wife said, let's pray about going to Oklahoma. I went to Oklahoma, First Baptist Moore, saw the tornado of the century, learned how to pray during that one. I was missions evangelism pastor at First Baptist Moore, Oklahoma, right outside Norman, right between Norman and Oklahoma City. Had a great time. But God said, come back to North Carolina because I'm from Greensboro. I'm a Greensboro boy. Smith High School, just right across from here. And I just enjoyed, and I want to see revival come to North Carolina. I hope it starts in Greensboro, but it can start in the middle of nowhere. Rodney, slide over just a little bit. Let all these Baptists come in late. So I've been back in Greensboro. I worked with the PBA for a little while, the association here. Associate director, I was. When I came back in 2000, I said, Lord, send me. Y'all know how this prayer goes, don't you? Lord, send me anywhere but southeastern North Carolina. I pastored in Bladenboro, lived in Wydeville, and was director of missions for Robeson and Hoke County. So I've been all over southeastern North Carolina. But God's brought me back here for the last 6 years or 7 years. It's been a wonderful time. Some of you also know this prayer. I told my wife, I said, let's pray about going back to Greensboro. We had 4 grandchildren at the time here. She said, you can pray if you want to. I'm packing. We were here several months later, and been a good trip. Been a good trip. We got 5 now, 5 grandchildren now here, so it's been good. Michael and I share 2 of them, so that's how we get along so well. His grandchildren love us, and we love each other. We have to love each other because we have 2 grandchildren together. His daughter married my son. So you know how to pray for me once you get to know Michael. Okay? I'm the sweet one. I'm the sweet one in the family, if you can imagine. What we're going to do is talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about pastors, prayer groups. We're going to talk about associational groups and prayer walking. We're going to give you a chance to share with us some of the things God's doing in your ministry and in your churches. So they'll be there. And then I'm going to wrap it up. That's what this sheet is for. If you didn't get one of these sheets, make sure you get one. And that's for it. And then I've got 2 things that you can get, as well as this stuff. For some of you who just came in, there's some of the stuff from the state convention. All I've done for the last, I will be 50 years old in June. Uh-huh. I met Jesus 50 years ago. At Florida Street Baptist Church. I was one of those boys that traveled all over the East Coast preaching. And I was not the preacher boy, though. I'm a science and physical education teacher. I'm a coach. I'm not a real preacher. We're the best, aren't we, Rod? That's right. And so God has done a lot of stuff through that. And I've been in full-time ministry since 1977 when I went to Durham and was there and to Michigan and then came back to Greensboro to pastor for 13 years in a church here. I am coaching still. And so it's been a joy to be back. But all of my ministry, I remember training young people at Caswell in the late 60s how to pray. I've seen revival prayer. I've seen pockets of kids before the Jesus movement started in the 70s at Caswell praying. I don't know if you've ever seen real revival prayer or not, like it had at Asbury, but it's still going on in different places. And that's why I wanted to be with this group. I mean, I like these other people, but y'all are the prayers, okay? You would not have spent your hour and whatever minutes being here if you weren't the prayers that God called you to be. So let me pray with you. Okay? Touch somebody and let's pray together. Let's pray for each other. That's why I got your name. You hadn't put a name on a piece of paper, that's why you gave. I like your outfit, my brother. We got together. We got together. Lord, thank you so much that you're here. Thank you that you loved us and love us even more now. And so, Lord, guide us, give us wisdom, direction, and give us your peace. And help us to spread it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Michael.
All righty. I'm Michael Baer. I pastor locally a little town called Pleasant Garden. I've been there for 30 years, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I praise the Lord for his faithfulness. And I want to open with God's Word. God's Word in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. You know, the church has just been planted and formed and established. And with that happening, again, Peter and John go up into the temple in verse 1. And it says how they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So there was a set time again for them to be called together to pray. And then as you go through, there's a miracle that takes place in the name of Christ, not because man had power, but because the Holy Spirit gave them power to do that which they were to do. And then in verse 19, there were many again, as he begins to preach to them, that did not know in faith. But he says in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so this whole prayer gathering of our convention this week is, again, returning to God. And the way you start that is by, first of all, looking deep within yourself and recognizing and focusing on your sin and your failures and repenting and asking God to break your heart and to cleanse you so that times of refreshing can come. Praise God for that word, because refreshing can come through the Lord. And we're all praying for that to happen in these days, because these days are so critical, aren't they? I mean, if you look, there's more turmoil and more turmoil every day. It's being added to. And again, the only hope, again, for the world is Jesus. And the only way, again, that's going to happen is God's people pray. And I mean, not just, again, take a few minutes or a few seconds to pray, but their life becomes a prayer. And you just really live your whole life out in prayer before the Lord, constantly, again, bringing those petitions, constantly bringing that repentance, constantly bringing that confession, and constantly then living in that environment of refreshing that comes from the Lord. I think you would agree with this statement. For God to answer a prayer, sometime or another in your life will be the most important thing at that moment. There's been crisis in all of our lives, or needs in all of our lives. For God to hear your heart, and again, to answer that heart prayer in that moment, in that situation, will be, it might have already been, it probably will be again, will be the most important thing on the radar of your very life being. And I just want to encourage you again to understand the greatest work we do, it's not preaching, it's praying. It's praying. It's not witnessing. It's praying. Prayer must go before anything and everything. It must undergird everything that we do. I want to tell you just a couple of things about prayer in our church and in our journey. When I first got to Pleasant Garden Baptist Church, the pastor before me had been there 25 years. And I went to visit him one day, and before I accepted the call. And he said, "Listen, I've not had a pastor for a long time, and you're going to need a pastor. How about let's be each other's pastor?" And we agreed, and he said that day, he says, "This is what I want to commit to you. Every week, I want to come to your office, and we're going to pray together 1 hour." And we did that for 17 years, as long as he lived. We did that, was in good health. Every Wednesday, if I was gone out of town for some reason, he went into my office and prayed for that hour. Lawrence Clatt was a part of that prayer team, and we just prayed and prayed and continued to pray. And I can tell you that, again, God, the work God has done has been many times in answer to Dr. Vernon's prayer. I can also tell you, in that prayer closet of time together, I heard him pray, I don't know how many times, "God, you take me out of this world before I ever shame your name." Amen. Now that's serious praying. That's serious praying. And so God just initiated through that relationship a heartbeat to pray and lead our church in prayer. One of the most precious times of the week for my life is Tuesday morning at, again, about 8:45. We've just moved that in the last week to, again, Tuesday afternoon, which would be just a few minutes ago at 1:30, where all of our staff gather at the altar in our church and we pray for about 45 minutes to an hour. It puts our hearts together. It keeps us, again, mindful that we can't do anything apart from Him. It makes sure we put on the radar not just our focus, but God's focus and the kingdom focus. And again, God establishes unity and oneness, which has to happen in the church if the world's going to ever believe the message that we have. And so that is a dynamic part of that. Another part of the journey for us has been, again, we've had prayer weekends with the convention. Bob and Phyllis Foy have come and led us. If you've never done that, unbelievable time. And then we've done prayer services where we would not just take a Wednesday night service, but we would take a Sunday morning service. And we would just, for the whole service, pray. And just focus the heart of the church to come together and seek the Lord for what He has for us. One of the most, and I think you would agree with this statement, one of the hardest things to do, or two of the hardest things to do, is keep evangelism front and center of your church. But as hard as that is, it's also hard to keep prayer front and center in your church. And we've tried all kinds of things through the years to make that front and center, from preaching to, again, the 24-hour prayer week and everybody praying around the clock to prayer partnerships. But the most recent thing we've done is what we call the prayer board. And on the prayer board right outside of our office, we change that prayer emphasis focus every single week. And again, we'll put up about 50 things that highlight that particular thing. This past week, it was our Honduras mission team. And so we, again, put up the things that we needed to pray for. And we asked our people to go by the prayer board and grab a prayer card and pray that week. And so what we're trying to do is unify our church in praying weekly to center God's kingdom focus within the life of the church. And I'm constantly asking our people, pray, pray, pray. Pray together, pray focused, pray believing, and pray expecting God to do something great. And so I just wanted to briefly give you that overview of, again, just some of the things that we're doing to try to keep prayer focused, because prayer does transform lives. The battle was won for Moses where? Up on the mountaintop. Yeah, not on the battlefield, up on the mountaintop praying to the Father. And it's so important for us to recognize the battle is won for us. And so don't get discouraged. Even if the things of this world get darker and darker and darker, don't get discouraged. You just keep praying and seeking the Lord and believing, because all things are possible with God. Amen? And we just believe God can once again, do a miracle of drawing the hearts of the people back to Himself, cleansing and purifying the church, and giving glory to Him through that whole process. We've got a couple of testimonies of some of the different ministries that are going on that I believe will bless you today. Miss Tammy Weeks, again, is going to come. She's from the Eastern Association and share, again, some of her journey. And then after that, Mr. Randy Jessup's going to come and share a little bit of his journey with prayer.
I'll just share with you briefly so we can get in, just kind of get a little background about prayer walking. And how many of you ever been prayer walking? Great, wonderful. You can tell you're in the room with a bunch of prayers when you see that, they understand it. Oftentimes I have people ask me, what the world is prayer walking? Well, it is praying and walking and keeping your eyes open so you don't fall down and have accidents. But I will tell you that I was introduced to prayer walking. My husband and I served with the North American Mission Board, and we served inner city evangelism. So if you want to talk about prayer life, your prayer life gets increased when you're in the inner city and you're out on the streets. And so that's where I was introduced to it and introduced to prayer walking. And I found out really quick that the power of prayer, the power of prayer walking, and how God could transform things through prayer. You said transforming lives. He can transform your life, but He also can transform something that God laid upon my heart, and that's the church. And I don't know about y'all, but I found out really fast when my husband was called to be director of missions of the Eastern Baptist Association, and we're going in Greensboro, brother. We was in the uttermost parts of the world, okay? Even though that's where I'm raised. And it's great, but what I found out was, you know what? Our churches were in trouble. And there's no need in us ignoring the fact that the church is in trouble today. We can make it look as pretty as we want to make it, but the church is in trouble today. And if we don't do something seriously, then you know what? We're in trouble. That's exactly right. So I was in traffic in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Of course, the Marine base is there. And God said, I will keep you still enough. As you can see, pretty energetic sometimes. But anyway, you can get an amen there. But anyway, so God said, I'll keep you still long enough to talk to you. Because you know what had happened? I was kind of like Paul. I was burdened down with what I was seeing and what was happening. And I was getting phone call after phone call about what was going on. And people were asking me, pray for my church. Pastor's wives. At the time, I was a pastor's wife. They were asking me, pray for my church. Pray for us. These are the things that are going on. I was troubled. And I said, God, what can I do? What? You know, we like the word strategy, don't we? Don't we? We sure do. We like that word strategy. And so I was like, okay, God, what's the next best strategy we can come up with? What can we do? And he said to me in that traffic as I was stopped and there was an accident and I was there for 45 minutes to an hour, he said, do exactly what you've been taught to do your whole life by a praying mother. And I had a prayer warrior for a mother was, keep it simple. Come to me in prayer. You can't change a thing, young lady. I'm the only one that can change it. But you got to talk to me. Let's talk about it. And as I was driving, I went by the Eastern Baptist Association. And for those in here that have been director of missions or are director of missions, very unusual for the lights to be on at dark, okay? I'm just here to tell you. And the lights were on in the associational office, and I scooted in there, and I said, God has just laid on my heart. There are troubles out there. And he said, really? You come to me telling me there are troubles? I know. And so that's how the prayer life of prayer walking began in our churches. And what has happened is I started a prayer team, a prayer walk team in our association, only for our churches, to support our churches, our pastors. I don't know how many in here are pastors. I'm telling you, our pastors sometimes face a lot. Their wives face a lot, their families face a lot, and they go through a lot. I didn't want to see that. I wanted to be that intercessor. There's something about intentional intercessory prayer, okay? And if you're talking about interceding, that means what? You're stepping in the gap. You are stepping in the gap. So when we think about that, that's all I knew to do was to pray because I couldn't fix it. So as we started this prayer team, it was great because I announced it at our church, and I want to tell you that I do have three prayer team members that are here right now in the back row. Praise the Lord. Amen. And they're prayer warriors, and they've been dedicated. They've been committed. And you know what has happened is so we started prayer walking every other Saturday. Geographically, we cover Sampson, Duplin County, and a few in Wayne County. And I plotted it out. And every Saturday, we would prayer walk these churches. At first, the pastors were like, something wrong with my church? Do I need to know something? Do you know something? There was that wall, that barrier. We know that. That can happen. And then as they gained trust and understood, no, we're just there to do what God's asked us to do, and that's be obedient through prayer, which is getting back to what we really need to do. Because pastors, your message isn't any good without prayer and an almighty God. You know, and it's simple as that. So anyway, we started prayer walking these churches. And I'm telling you that we're fixing to start our 10th journey, meaning that we have prayer walked every church in our association, and we're on our 10th journey. We're somewhere in 8 years. We prayer walked the state convention, and we prayer walk in every cubicle there is the first Friday of every single month. We prayer walk at the Biblical Recorder, which I serve on the executive board. We prayer walk also at the foundation, because I believe it starts with prayer. And leadership is not going to be what it needs to be without prayer. And I believe that wholeheartedly. But I want to share with you quickly and then finish up how I've seen God answer. And the way I've seen God answer it is he took a rural Duplin County church that said, here are the keys to the church. How do I gracefully close it? The first thought, praise the Lord, from our director of missions, which wasn't my husband then, was Paul Langston, said, hold up, let's talk. He first of all prayed with them. Then I got that phone call. Then the next phone call came from that pastor that said, we need to talk. And we began prayer walking that church. And I will ever forget what happened. The first little lady that came across the street that lived in front of the church, and she said, what are y'all doing? And I said, we're prayer walking. And we're praying for your church. Then she began to weep. And she said, our church needs prayer. And I said, yeah, I kind of heard that. I didn't share because I don't believe in that. When somebody asks me to pray or a church asks me to pray or a pastor asks us to pray, I believe that it's between us, them, and an almighty God. It isn't between us and them and the community, okay? Because the community can't, we can ask them to join us in prayer, but it's not a gossip section. It is a time of praying to an almighty God to fix it. Yeah. What I've seen happen in that is just, and this is going on at church after church after church in the Eastern Baptist Association. And I told my husband the other night, I said, you know what? I don't know why, but God, we seem to have favor with God right now.
Amen.
That church not only didn't close the doors, it was sent, the pastor moved to another church, which that's not bad sometimes, okay? His time was done there. That meaning that God had a bigger plan for him somewhere else. God brought somebody else in there, which was a retired pastor, he said. He said, I'm retired, I'm only doing interim. No, that's not what God planned. God said, no. God said, you're going to be the pastor of this church because you have the wisdom, the knowledge, the love that they need right now in their restoration. So you want to talk about restoration and restoring? Go to prayer. God can do it. That church today has sent other men out into the ministry. They've been called out into the ministry. And they are serving in other rural churches in our area. They're sending people out into the mission field. They're also giving. They've learned to give. They've learned to get along. They are beginning to look like the church of the book of Acts because they started praying together, uniting together, and God started adding to them daily. So if you ask me, am I passionate about prayer walking and what I see with intentional prayer walking, it's not only that. You know what? You can take it to your communities. We take it to the communities. We take it to events. We take it to business meetings when they're about to go the wrong way. I'll get a phone call that says, we're in a bad situation. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? We're going to pray, but not only that, I believe there's something about going and being intentional about our prayer and being there. When I step on the church grounds of any church, I feel like I'm on holy ground. Because God's organized that church. It's not your church, it's God's church. So if you want to hear more about what prayer walking, you just have to give me a call. I'll come see you. I can share because I've seen baptisms. I've seen the gospel message go places I never thought it would go. I've seen people come back together, families be joined back together because of a time spent in united prayer. I've seen the churches come back together. I've seen what God's doing. And he's not only just doing that in the Eastern Association. He's doing that in a lot of places. We listen to too much negative in the world and we don't talk about what God's doing. He does awesome, powerful things through prayer walking. If you want to know more about it, easiest thing you can do is get this book, Prayer Walking Made Simple.
Amen.
It's the simplest. Chris Schofield. I use all of Chris's stuff. I actually learned my prayer walking with Chris. We prayer walked together prior to the Southern Baptist Convention. And I won't ever forget it. It was in Greensboro, North Carolina, where it all happened. And so I will tell you that God is in the miracle business. And if you want to walk with Jesus, you try prayer walking.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't give up. Amen.
Prayer booth has these books if you need them.
Who has it?
Thank you, sir.
Chris Schofield at the prayer booth.
Okay.
He just stopped by and he's got all these you need.
My name is Randy Jessup. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church of Mayodan. How many of y'all have ever heard of Mayodan, North Carolina? That is another miracle. Hey, about 30 miles north of here, like going towards Virginia. And I have one of my prayer warriors here with me, Sally Anderson. Sally, if you would, just raise your hand right there. Y'all give her a hand. God bless you, Sally. We have been meeting now for probably years and years. Sally, how long do you think we've been meeting?
Over 9 years.
Right now we meet every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And we meet at different churches there in our community. Right around the Madison, Mayodan, Stoneville area, we have several pastors that come together. We've been praying together, lay leaders like Sally and others. And we've been meeting and crying out to the Lord for revival and spiritual awakening.
Amen.
And I tell you right now, we've seen God work mightily in our churches. And he's still working, still got a lot of work to do. But I'm going to be honest with you, as a pastor, I need that time.
Mm-hmm.
To gather around other people, and we some of us get down there at the altar on our faces, some of us sit, but we come together and we are real with one another. We share what's going on in our lives. As pastors, those of you who are pastors, we need encouragement. And sometimes you can get really beat up, and I praise God that we can be real with one another. with our lay people and with other pastors as we come together and cry to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But we also speak the truth in love to one another.
Amen.
And that is of the utmost importance. And we confess our sins one to another. Try to do that and be transparent. And we cry out to the Lord, and I can tell you, it's made all the difference in my life and in my ministry and in our church family, and the church is right there in that area. Now, that's just in our part of the county, but we have people in Dan Valley Association, which I'm a part of. We have people in Eden that's praying every week, crying out to God for revival and spiritual awakening. We have people in Reesville and that part of the county coming together every week and really praying for revival and spiritual awakening. I cannot tell you what I've seen through the power of prayer. I know a lot of y'all, I guarantee every one of y'all here today, could share a testimony about what God has done in your life, the life of your family, and in your ministry, in your community, in your church. So I want to thank you, all of you, especially for your prayer life and the difference you're making, because I know you're in here today because you are prayer warriors and seeking God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I long to see a true revival.
Amen.
I've read about it.
Amen.
I've heard about it. But I'm praying to God to share, to experience that like never before. And that's right. I've seen movies about the Jesus movement in the 70s. War Room. Courageous. I praise God for how God is using that church, that word out through movies on what God is doing. But I am praying, you know, just like Bud, he's experienced, he's seen it. And me and Sally, you know, we've been praying about that, her and her husband, Don. They're tremendous prayer warriors, tremendous support for me and all of my staff. And I have people in my church that let me know that, Pastor Randy, I'm praying for you every day, crying out to the Lord for you. And I've got to admit, personally, God has burdened me to pray like I never have before.
Amen. Amen.
Not only with others, but getting up at 4, sometimes 2, in the morning, and spending hours in prayer with the Lord. I'm not trying to brag on myself. It's God, through His grace, through His Holy Spirit. But I know this. He's doing that for others. Drawing us to Him, to cry out to Him. I'm going to be honest with you. I told my church family this past Sunday, I said, man, the Lord woke me up about 2 or 2:30. And I mean, it's like His love flooded my heart till I thought it was going to explode. I said, glory. It made me think about D.L. Moody. Well, you know, when he was preaching God's word, and these two elderly ladies, they would come out, and he would give them a hug, and he said, we're praying for you to get the power. D.L. Moody, you know, he got upset about that. He said, what do you mean get the power? I got the power. He said, no, you don't have the power. So he started thinking about that. And every time they come out, that's what they communicate. We love you. We're praying that you get the power. Finally, the Holy Spirit started speaking to him about that. And he started meeting with those two elderly ladies. And exactly what they were talking about. And they were talking about the anointing power of the Holy Spirit that come upon his life. So he started meeting with them. They started praying. He humbled himself and started praying for that special anointing. He said he was walking the streets of New York City. You can read about it. But D.L. Moody said he was right there, and all of a sudden it's like the Lord started flooding his heart with the love of God, and he couldn't hardly stand it. He went to find a friend and said, I've got to get to a room by myself with the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. He got alone with the Lord, and he said his life and ministry was never the same again. Oh, how I pray that for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Right there in Joel, the Holy Spirit says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all, and they shall prophesy, dream dreams. I'll tell you right now, and Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said he brought some of that out, but we have not seen the full fruition of that prayer come yet, but I'm praying for it. Ain't y'all?
It's coming.
How I long to hunger to see a mighty move of God.
Amen.
And I knew he's going to do it through prayer, through his spirit, through the grace of God, drawing us, making us desperate for a mighty move of God. I know it's happening in other parts of the world. I read about it. On an average, 82,000 people come to Christ every day. Sometimes more. And most of those are in third world countries where it cost them their life to be a Christ follower. Persecution makes all the difference. And I'm praying that God will do what it takes to bring us to revival and spiritual awakening. But it's going to come through prayer. But God initiates it. We don't do that on our own. God initiates it through the power of His Spirit because of His amazing grace to lead us to pray and cry to Him. And I'm expecting great things. I really am. Amen. And I want to be a part of that. Don't y'all?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Sally, you have anything you want to say? Hey, but I tell you right now, Sally's a prayer warrior. She's a blessing. But I'm going to tell you right now, Bud has been with us many times as we cried out to the Lord and prayed together. And then it's like all good Southern Baptists, then we go out and eat. God bless y'all. Thank you.
Well, what's God doing in your life?
Amen.
We got people from everywhere. Face on. On one side in the middle of nowhere near the greater Shelby. Mm-hmm. Somewhere between Charlotte and Shelby is what? Liberty? No.
Sandy Run Baptist Association.
That's what I said. I don't know where that is.
Four cities. Shelby.
Nashville, Charlotte.
Amen. We're everywhere. God's doing something everywhere.
Yes.
But He wants to do something more than He's ever done.
That's right.
And in the last days, sin will abound, but guess what's going to abound more?
Grace.
Just grace. So here's what I want us to do. I've already been blessed. I don't know about you. I've got a couple things. But again, you need something to hand out at one of these conferences. So I've got something, but I want to make sure. One of the things that I've always done to get Wednesday night groups, prayer groups, because we talk about prayer meeting. We don't really have prayer. We have Bible study. But during my 13 years at one church, all I did was talk about prayer on Wednesday night. And we prayed. And some of the handouts that I used, Bible promises and intercessory prayer lists. You know, so that's that. That's there. This, to me, is my favorite. I want to make sure I gave everybody one of these. If you want to know how to pray an hour, get a prayer guide. This is my prayer guide. This is the model prayer.
Amen.
In different visions. Some, I don't know who these preachers are. Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll. I borrowed a bunch of stuff from them. And it's just what I use to teach. And you can do every section at a time. You can do, I talk about paternity and praise, you know, and it's the names of God. The reason I love this so much, it not only has the names of God, it has the Old Testament name, and it has how Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament. So that's a prayer guide for you, and it's up here somewhere. If you want one of those, come pick it up, okay? What? No, don't give it to them unless they want one. I don't want to hand it out. I'll make sure they get them. Let me go over this real quick, and then we're gonna talk before we leave and pray.
Amen.
It's time to pray. That's a couple things I did when I was DOM. I worked on how to pray with some folks, and I've always worked on clusters of prayers. I don't know what you call them. I know there's a remnant everywhere. In every church, in every congregation, there's a remnant. The reason why I don't do DOM a lot is because I'd rather become an interim pastor. When I become an interim pastor, I go in and try to get the Baptists out of them. And I make them pray. And so we work on that. Matter of fact, it was the funniest thing when I did Warsaw. You probably don't know this. I did a deacon training for about eight churches in the First Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. And one of those pastors, probably the same one that came to you about, what's wrong with our church? He came up to his deacons. He came up to the director of missions on Monday. I did a weekend. I did a Friday night, Saturday night deacon training. And he called Paul and said, Paul, what did that man tell my deacons? And Paul said, what do you mean, what did he tell his deacons? He said, they came in my office, six of them, on Sunday morning before I preached.
Amen.
And they circled me. And I didn't have my gun with me. He said, and they said, well, Pastor, we want to pray for you.
Amen. Amen.
He said, what do you do to my men? Paul said he did what he did to all the other guys. He got a covenant that the deacons would pray. Mm-hmm. Instead of tell the preacher what to do, they tell God what
Amen.
The preacher ought to do.
That's right.
And so we have a good time. That's what I do. When I went to Oklahoma, my goal was to have 100 men. Somebody said, well, why don't you get the women? I said, because the women don't need to be taught how to pray. They already pray.
Yeah.
I said, I had 100 men. I only got 78. Had 78 men that prayed every Sunday morning. We walked pews of every
Amen.
Section.
Amen.
But I've been doing that for 40 years. I love pastor. When I was pastor, I just walked the pews every morning.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Pray for every person coming in.
That's right.
That's how you pray. It's just simple. It's so simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And when nobody else would pray with me. And I learned it from men at Florida Street when we would travel. I learned praying with 20 men around the organ and piano at Florida Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I learned to pray when I was in college. Because remember, I'll be 50.
That's right.
In June.
Yeah.
So, questions. I'm an old educator. You ask, what do educators teach? We ask questions. How did Rabbi teach? You ask questions. Answer with a question.
The question is more important than you.
What would happen if our churches began to pray? That's my second question. Could revival come?
Mm-hmm.
Is our church a house of prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Simple prayer. And who is your prayer coordinator? Every pastor needs a prayer coordinator.
Amen.
Because you can't do it. They think you're supposed to do it because they pay you to pray. Preacher, that's why we pay you, preacher. It's so sad. And so you begin to define your clusters of prayers and then get them together. DOMs, same thing. Find those guys. My best legacy as a director of missions is I've left clusters of prayers in every association I've ever been in. And when I leave, they're still praying. They're still praying. Matter of fact, they pray better when I leave. And it's okay. Because I don't care where revival starts.
That's right.
I just want it to start. And Jesus is coming any day. Any day. So revival's getting ready to come. So how do you revitalize? I'm in the revitalization business. Not with the state convention, just in God's vision. And you need to know all this stuff on the other side of the sheet, okay? You need to know the purpose. Who are you? The mission, what do we do? The vision is the key.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a pastor, if you don't have a vision, you're going to die. Okay? And so begin to understand the concept of the burden. The burden. There's so many things that are going on. And the most important thing as a coach, plan it. Get your priorities right. Practice what you plan. And then pray. Man, that'll work. It'll work every time. Okay? It'll work every time. Always has worked. Always has worked. Always will work. Started in Acts.
Amen.
When the church started in Acts chapter 2. And it'll keep going until Jesus comes. So, what's God doing in your church? We can help. Tell us, Mom.
I had the acting pastor, he's without a pastor right now,
yes,
come to our house for dinner because I told him I have a vision for prayer.
Yes.
And I laid it out because I've been studying. I have about 300-400 pages I've written that I'm not going to do it all at once, but I wanted it. I wanted it. I want to see God move. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
So we got together and I gave him the vision that I had, and he's all for it.
Amen.
And we're going to go for it. Yeah. And we're kicking it off.
Go for it.
And the prayer walking, we've done that. We did.
Tell us the name of your church again, Sam.
Maple Springs Baptist in Seagrove.
Please put your
Seagrove.
put Sandra's name and Maple Springs.
We're going to see
pray for
this happen. It's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Great illustration. Let me end with it, and then we're going to pray.
I was going to ask Tammy,
yes,
if they actually trained, would they be willing to come and train or some other ladies to do what they
actually
do?
Okay. All the time.
Amen.
Does one person matter?
Yes.
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 And you know the story about starfish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throwing the starfish back. Well, that one, it mattered to that one person.
Amen.
My favorite one is the darkness. Michael started out with, there's a mess. We live in a messed up world. Have y'all figured it out? It's called a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great cloud of witnesses, but there's also a sinful cloud on every community. Now, here's the key. How do you break through?
Pray.
You pray. But here's what you do. When you lift, what kind of hands? Holy hands. Everybody needs to be taught to lift holy hands.
Mm-hmm.
When you lift holy hands, you know what you do? Don't do it this way. Don't do it this way. Do it this way. And poke holes through the darkness. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's when revival will come.
Amen.
When God's Spirit, who's just waiting to come to us, and you begin to lift holy hands and pray, and you become a Baptist-Costal or whatever you become.
Amen.
And you lift them up to the Lord, and you lift people up, and the Spirit of God begins to move to you and through you, and you pray, and when you get more than one, two or three are gathered.
Mm-hmm.
He's right there. That's all it takes.
That's right.
Is two or three. And you'll begin to poke holes in the darkness. Wherever you are, there will always be somebody else looking to be with you. A cluster. Hungry for God. So take some time, okay?
I'm sorry.
Go, Nathan. Go for it.
My name is Nathan. When you asked if people are pastors, I'm actually a youth pastor. But the challenge, I would say, if y'all can, from a youth pastor's perspective, is pray for the teenagers in the nation now.
I agree.
Because from my perspective, I see parents not teaching the Word of God in the homes. I'm seeing broken families. And so I'm trying to pray and kick that up, praying for these families more. And I would say, if y'all can, that would be my challenge for y'all. If you're like a DOM or a pastor, if you have a youth pastor, or if not, just pray for the teenagers and the kids that are coming up, because these are generations that they don't have that scripture, that family dynamic that a lot of y'all probably grew up with if y'all did.
But they're hungry.
Yeah.
Boy, they're hungry.
And so, and that's the thing. They are growing up, and anything that is bringing happiness or pleasure in their life, that's what they're clinging to.
Yeah.
And it's not the Word of God.
No.
So that would be my challenge from a youth pastor's perspective. If y'all can, pray for the kids and teenagers that are growing up in today's time. They need it.
Yes.
And the school system. My wife is a school teacher, and she sees what these kids go through more than I do. So if you have anybody in the school system, I recommend praying for those teachers that can have a bigger impact than possibly us. And I portray to my I say my teenagers because I think they're my family. But I portray to them that they have a bigger mission field than any of us maybe in this room.
Do you have in a coordinator for your association? And if you don't, you need to be one.
Amen.
And you need to, one of the things you need to do is you need to have a prayer, you need to have somebody in charge of praying for every school in your county.
Amen.
Every school in your county.
Amen.
Deb?
I spent many years in education, in middle school education.
Yes, ma'am, the jungle.
If anybody's in education, they know that you either love a middle school or you hate them, and they can turn on you.
Yes, ma'am.
But we hear all in society that we need prayer back in schools. My philosophy is this, is if every Christian was praying for our schools
Amen.
The way they should,
Amen.
Then we wouldn't have to worry about prayer being back in school because it would be there.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, my kids knew they could come to me and ask me to pray with them.
Absolutely.
And you would be amazed at the ones that would just come and say, I need your prayers. You know, will you pray with me over this? And these things are happening.
Amen.
And as a teacher, I always found whatever school I was in at the time, I always found at least one teacher that I knew would meet with me in the morning and pray over our school.
Even a heathen administrator can be changed.
And that is exactly right.
That's right.
Prayer
walk your school. Prayer walk. Listen, love you. Michael?
I got two.
Thank you. Well, we're going to pray for Nathan, yes. For the kids, and you close us, right. And then we'll go.
Lord, grab our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, capture all of it.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we're all yours, all in, all out, all for your glory. Lord, we pray for the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that light would overcome it.
Amen.
That we would be that light that shatters it.
Yes.
Lord, on that school campus,
uh-huh.
In that broken home,
yes.
In that church that needs to be renewed and restored and revived.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I pray for prayer partners.
Yes.
I thank you for the gift that they are to me. Lord, we get to pray together and strengthen each other and cry together and agree together and believe together.
Amen.
And I pray that you raise more groups up. Lord, I pray for every pastor, your strength, your boldness. Lord, your blessing. I thank you, God, for the gift of a prayer partner and a prayer warrior in the churches that we're in.
Yes,
Lord, as I look across this room and see so many concerned about prayer, and Lord, there are those prayer warriors in those churches, and God, I thank you for them. Lord, it's because of them that the word Ichabod has not been written over the church yet.
Yes.
And I pray, oh God, that revival comes through your people. Being humble, repenting, believing, trusting, asking in your name. Amen.
God bless you.